shared with you the message of Paul's struggle with the Christian life, where he said, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" That living the Christian life is not an easy challenge. Even Paul, with all of his faith and all that he did for the Lord, found it a constant struggle. Because I can will what is right, but in my own power, it's hard to do it day by day, day in and day out, living the life of a Christian. Well, in this passage, Paul is telling us how we can live the life of a Christian. He is sharing with us the answer he found in God through Christ Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a very important message, one of the most critical messages I think we find in Scripture for practical living. And yet we have the same problem that the people had in Jesus' day, and that's one of the reasons he spoke in parables. He said, because, you know, sometimes we don't take the Word of God seriously. I mean, it's just like we're walking along a road or down a path and it just falls there and it gets trampled underfoot. We don't even see God or hear God trying to speak to us day by day. And sometimes the soil in which the Word of God falls is just rocky soil. It's just so full of other stuff that the Word of God just can't take root there. Or sometimes it does take root and is choked out by other things in our lives. How true are all those illustrations in the parable true of us? That God is speaking to us every day, but we're so busy along the path of life, we don't even hear the Word of God speaking out to us. Or that our lives are so full of so many things, rocks and thorns and other things distracting us, that the Word of God doesn't get a chance to take root and grow in us fully. How many of us have taken the time to clear away the rocks, to set them aside, and to pull out the thorns and the other distractions in our lives that keep us from growing closer to God? So we can hear the Word. Because the Word of God, to live it out, is really not that difficult, but it has to take root and grow in us. Paul said, folks, it's really simple. You either live according to the flesh or you live according to the Spirit. That we either set our minds on the things of the flesh, the things of this world, which leads to sin and death, or we set our mind on the things of the Spirit and experience life and peace. It's that simple. It's one or the other. Now, thank goodness we're in a cool sanctuary. Just as soon as I walked in from driving over here, I appreciated how cool it was in here. And it's cool because someone comes down here and sets the thermostats, and those thermostats control these air conditioning units out here to try to get us to a temperature that's comfortable for us. Those little boxes back there, just like the little boxes on the wall in our homes, are a control mechanism. You set them where you want them to go, and you hope you have a system designed to get you there. Of course, when it gets up close to 100 degrees, if you don't have the right kind of system, it can work all day, and it won't get you that cool. But hopefully you have a system that'll get you there. I think we've got an air conditioning expert right over here in our church, knows all about that. But it's a control mechanism. We set it where we want it to be, and the machine works to deliver. Now, we use that same thermostat for our heating system, don't we? And when it's cold, we set it for the heat to go to the level to keep us warm. And if you have one of these automatic thermostats that'll control both heat and cool, they design those so they're not exactly the same, because if they did, the system would fight with itself, clicking back and forth from heat to cool and burn itself out. Well, you see, God gave us a thermostat, a control mechanism. It's our minds. It's our ability to choose. And Paul said, if you want to live the Christian life, if you want to live the kind of life that you can't live in your own power, you have to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Just like if you want to be cool, you got to go back there and set that thermostat at a level that can cool us enough that we feel comfortable in here. Now, unlike that thermostat, the problem with our lives is that there's a little thing called sin. It's as if there's a little spring on the lever of the thermostat that when you want to set it to cool, it's always pulling it back to heat. And when you set it on heat, it's always pulling it to cool. That there's something in us called sin that we just can't set it and forget it, like Ron Popeil's rotisserie oven. We can't just set it and forget it. We have got to keep setting our mind daily, sometimes hour by hour for me. Set our mind on the things of the Spirit so I can go the way God wants me to go. That's my choice. That's my life. That's my destiny as a Christian, to set my mind on the things of the Spirit instead of the things of the flesh and the things of this world. Now, if I let my mind be set on the things of the world, it's just like the parable. God's word is speaking to me every day, everywhere, but I don't hear, because it's falling on a path and I'm so busy running up and down my path, I don't hear God speaking to me. I don't hear God trying to help me live the Christian life. I'm too busy. Or I haven't worked enough on my own life to get the rocks out of the way and to pull out the thorns and the weeds. Then the word of God's not going to be a lot of help to me. You know, not long ago, he's still having the problem. Frank's been having some problem with his toes. And I went by to visit him. And as I walked up to his house, I look and I see weeds out here on the walk. You know, here's a man who's having trouble walking. But he's going to get out there and he's going to weed that path. And he got out there and took that heat as much as he could that day. But he was out there weeding. And you know, if you drive by Frank's yard, you'll see he likes to keep a good-looking yard. You got to get out there and work. You got to get out there and get on your hands and knees and pull out those weeds, or they'll take over. You know, the same things happen in our lives spiritually. There's a lot of things of this world that get into our lives and just take over the will of God in our lives if we let it. If we don't purposely do something to weed those things out and stay focused on the things of God. That's our destiny as Christians. But we have to continually focus. We have to continually reset the mind on the things of the Spirit. Now, what are those things? Well, I think we've got a good answer from Paul in his letter to the church at Galatia. We'll know the things of the Spirit when we see the fruit of the Spirit. And what does Paul tell us in Galatians, the 5th chapter? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the practical, everyday things that we need to set our mind on. Is what I'm doing today producing love and joy and peace in my life and in the lives of others? You know, I've known a lot of people and seen a lot of people in counseling sessions who come in and their family lives are a wreck. And it's because they set their mind on having big houses or fancy cars or having so much in the savings account or the bank account. And do you know, almost every time people have said that, well, I do that because I love my wife and my family. You know, we need to be careful about how we use that word love. Because along with that needs to go the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, and the self-control. I mean, if we're out there saying we're doing it because we love our family, and we're not spending time with the family, and we're not there to love them on a day-to-day basis, if we don't have any time to show them the joy and peace of life and the kindness of life, all the money in the bank accounts, all of the investment we have in the nice home or the fancy car doesn't count for much. We've got to invest in things of the Spirit. We've got to set our minds on those things, or the weeds of this world will just choke out the goodness of God in our lives. It takes a lot of work. It maybe means going out there and doing some weeding even when you don't feel like it, because it needs to be done. If we'll do that for our yards, why don't we do that for our spiritual lives? We've got to use our minds to bring the power of God into our lives. I remember years ago when we were serving four churches in Franklin County. And boy, that's a challenge. I was going to seminary full-time and had the privilege of pastoring four churches. And when I went there the first month or two, I had four services a Sunday. I had a 9:30, I had an 11 o'clock, I had a 2 o'clock, and I had a 6 o'clock. And you know, I didn't even want to listen to me by 6 o'clock. Jane, our children were very young then, and Jane taught piano lessons. And a little girl in one of the churches took piano lessons from Jane. And she was a beautiful little girl, but her little hands were covered with the most hideous warts you ever saw. And they had taken her to doctors, and they had frozen them off, they had burned them off, they had cut them off, and they always came back. This beautiful little girl who was learning to play piano, but what disturbed her when she sat down to the keyboard was looking at her ugly little hands. And Jane and I started talking about that and started praying about that. And so one day when her mother came to pick her up, we asked if we could talk to them about something. And they said yes. And we said, you know, we noticed she's been talking about how ugly her hands are and how she always keeps them in a pocket and tries to hide them, and yet she's trying to use them to make this beautiful music. And she was doing a great job as a piano student. But the ugliness of those little hands, those ugly old warts, just bothered her so much. And you know how embarrassing that is to a little child. And you know how you can go to school and other children can tease you and make fun of you for something like that. Now Franklin County is not Fayetteville, and it's not Raleigh or Greensboro. I mean, you're out in the country up there in Franklin County. But I sat down with that mother and that daughter, and I said, I want to share with you something. I want to share with something with you that I learned and maybe can help you. Because all of these other things and all of the medical technology they had at Duke University was not helping this little girl. I said, I've read about how you can use your mind to bring healing to your body. And what I want you to do is every morning and every evening, every morning when you get up, every evening when you go to bed, I want you to hold your hands out, and I want you to look at those warts, and I want you to come up with some imaginary way of seeing those warts disappear. And I told her about one man who had cancer. And his imaginary way of looking at that cancer was believing that the cancer tumors in his bodies were big piles of hamburgers, and dogs would come and eat those tumors away. And he was healed of his cancer. And a friend of mine in a workshop who had told me about a time when she broke her leg, and they told her at her age how long it was going to take for that leg to mend. She would spend that time in the morning, that time in the evening. You know, we talk about your bones knitting. Well, she would just sit there and visualize knitting needles, knitting her bones back together. And she healed in less than half of the time that normally it takes for your bones to heal. And I shared some stories about how someone set their mind on healing and using the creativity of the mind, and asked her if she thought she might could do that. And so that little girl and that mother went away wondering about this crazy preacher that God sent in that part of the country. But you know, they were so desperate, they tried it. And within 2 months, those ugly, horrible warts were gone off that little girl's hands. Albert Einstein said, we probably only use 10% of the power of our brain. Paul is telling us we have to set our minds if we're going to live the right life. Does God want healing in people's lives? Yes. Are we setting our mind in a way to use our own body to help heal ourselves? Are we setting our mind on love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control? Paul says the way to live the Christian life is to set the mind on the things of the Spirit. To use the power of the mind for us to live better, more rich and full lives. Are we making an effort to set our minds on the things of the Spirit that can give us all of the goodness of God? We have power, but it depends on where we set our mind. On the things of the flesh, and the world, and the things people say can't be done, or on the power of God who can work miracles and can bring about healing even in a little girl who could imagine that her warts were being eaten away. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Christ Jesus. And if we set our mind on the things of the Spirit, God promises us we will have life and peace. Where are you setting your mind today? Better still, where will you be setting it tomorrow and the next day and the next day? That's the challenge of the Christian life. That's the rich soil in which the power of God can work miracles in us and through us when we set our mind on the things of the Spirit. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we don't always understand the power you've given us through our minds, but you want the very best for us. And the only way we'll have the very best is not so much by our hard work in this world, although there's nothing wrong with working hard in the world, but it's where we're setting our mind. Where is our vision? Where is our hope? Where is the real target for success and joy in our lives? And it only comes through your Spirit. May we set our minds constantly on the things of the Spirit, May we reset our minds on the things of the Spirit when our sinful nature pulls us back to looking at things from the way the world looks at them, and look through the eyes of Jesus and see the hope and the power that you can give us when we set our minds on the things of the Spirit. May we discover this great power in our lives, for we ask your blessings upon us in Jesus' name. Amen.